Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of maximizing the customer experience in the multifamily online environment. I have joining me today in the studio a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a best-selling author, a personal coach, as well as a multifamily consultant, Kathy Klim, the owner of Vast Resources Coaching and Consulting. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you, Paul.
It's always great to have you on the show because you really bring a lot of great information for our listeners. And this is something that this topic about the online environment is something that's been changing for the last few years, sped up by the pandemic. But even prior to that, I mean, we've had discussions on past episodes where I disclosed to you that I can remember. I'm old enough to remember.
Then I am too, I'm sure.
That there was no such thing as an online environment for any company, much less multifamily. And, you know, marketing consisted of the grocery store magazines that you would pick up if you wanted to find an apartment to lease.
Or putting a postcard on a pegboard somewhere.
Exactly. So things have definitely changed since then. So let's talk about that change a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Well, and unfortunately, I even remember when we posted rent by pegboard. So even before that, but really in the last 10 years that I remember and the company that I worked with, we moved to online platforms so that we could do leasing, we could accept payments, do more of the paperwork online, trying to have residents submit their service request online. So really trying to provide, much like the airplane, you know, the airlines, the car rental services do, to do as much online as you can to make that access to services available for your customers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, it wasn't just my company. There were a lot out there that in the last 10 years had started working more on online platforms. I think that a lot more were pushed into that way of doing business at the start of the pandemic out of necessity. And so what you see is people that have maybe been on the fence about what to do, being pushed into it and having to come up with ways to still service their prospects and their residents, but keeping people safe, you know, if they weren't able to open their offices, and being able to still run their business and to give the customer what they needed.
And, you know, I've said it before on our show. I can remember prior to the pandemic going to the different national and regional conferences and expositions and watching people walk into booths with all these different technologies that were available. And if I knew the person, when they walked out, I said, "What did you think about that technology?" And they said, "I think it's got a place, but I don't foresee us adopting that anytime soon." And this is things like virtual leasing and
right,
things like that. And then the pandemic hits, and all of a sudden, you have no choice but to adopt as quickly as you can these technologies. There's no question that the pandemic expedited the acceptance of those technologies, and at least the trial by a lot of companies.
Right, but unfortunately, I think what happened is they had to push this as many things as they could down to keep the resources for the customer, but that might have left out some training steps or some vetting that would have, you know, taken out some of the bugs of what they were doing. But everybody was just trying to do what they could to make sure that they could still do business.
Right.
So you saw properties that had the staff would come in, but their office would be closed during the day. If somebody wanted to see an apartment, they would either have to come and get be left a key, or if, you know, companies that were farther along in the curve would have the smart locks where people could go in and do self tours, or in some cases, staff members were having to get on Zoom and take their iPad and go into an apartment to actually do a live virtual tour.
Right.
You know, I looked at a lot of different property websites while getting prepared for this segment, and it's interesting even today to see how wide the spread is and what people do and what they may be missing. Because if you look at it when let's say 15 years ago, you would track your traffic, people would come in, you'd get a guest card, you'd show them the property, you'd show them a unit, you'd follow up with them, and you'd have all that information on that particular prospect that you knew that came there because they wanted to find an apartment to live in. Well, today, if it's online, everybody doesn't fill out a guest card. And so if your online presence, no matter what platform, whether it's your website, whether it's any of the features that you use or ancillary platforms you use to do business, if that's not engaging, not just your customers, but your potential customers, you don't get a second chance. And then you don't even have their information to be able to try to follow up to get that person interested in your product, service, or your community again. So I think that now that some of the restrictions from COVID have lifted, some of the offices are now open more, this may be a good time for people to step back and say, hey, are my online platforms doing what they need to do? Because, you know, you look at even since the pandemic, and I've noticed this in a lot of websites, they have properties will have office hours, but you still have to call for an appointment. And that makes it more efficient for the communities, but not necessarily more efficient for the customer. I tried the other day to call a property that I had a question for, and nobody answers the phone. Mm-hmm. You get a recording, and if you want to lease an apartment, you press 1, and I never could figure out if that went to a real person or not.
Right.
2 for maintenance, 3 for an emergency, and 9 for a general question. Well, I had a question and I wanted to talk to somebody about it. Well, when I pressed 9, it was a voicemail to leave a message.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that that's a great way to try to make sure that you maximize people's time and get all the information you need. But I didn't get a call back. Mm. So, you know, is that the best platform for certain properties to use, you know, to do business? So those are the type of things that I think businesses aren't capturing the potential loss and maybe not even understanding what they need to do to make sure that whatever their digital footprint is, that it's like meeting you in person. You know, how long does it take to get a good first impression of somebody? Well, used to be 7 seconds. In the digital world now, it's about a second.
Right.
Well, I was reading this morning that on websites, half a second can form a person's impression. So if you think about how many websites you go to in a day, you Google something, you look at 5 different apartment communities, how many of them draw you in and make you want to spend time on that page, on that website, and to go further and to look for something? And those are some of the things I think that as we talk about today, people can really do some things to tighten up their platforms, to really step back and look at them like the customer. You know, whether it's a prospect or a resident, are we giving people what they need? And are we putting our best foot forward to make sure that we service the needs of our customers?
And I think that's an excellent point. I just want to piggyback on what you said. I know that I call quite a few apartment communities to try and talk to somebody. Right. And I run into the same situation that you do. Obviously someone's out on the property or they're not open at that moment. But they don't, there's no way to actually talk to a human. Now, a lot of people have gone to these call centers
for
leasing, but it doesn't, if you need to talk to someone in operations, for instance,
right.
You don't have that opportunity. And I wish they would figure out a way to be able to do that a little bit better.
Well, and I look at like Amazon, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people use Amazon. I use it probably more than I should. Mm-hmm. But when I look at apartment websites or apartment platforms, I think about Amazon, for example. If I have a problem, I don't necessarily have to talk to somebody. I can do a live chat. And I've never had a situation where doing a live chat that I haven't had my issue resolved. Or if I want to call, I say, yes, I'd like somebody to call me. And within two seconds, my phone is ringing.
Right.
So when you look at that, and maybe that's the gold star of customer service, but in our business, isn't that what we should be striving for?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're gonna break it here. We're going to talk about this topic a lot more in the next three segments. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
We are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing the topic of maximizing the customer experience in the multifamily online environment. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a best-selling author, a personal coach, as well as a multifamily consultant, Kathy Klemm, the owner of Vast Resources Coaching and Consulting. I do, before we jump back in the conversation, want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. You know, Kathy, you mentioned earlier in the first segment that, the properties or the community's website,
right.
And how, you know, grabbing someone's attention to make them want to look at more. That's really kind of the first stop, isn't it? And for most people in the multifamily, when they're looking for multifamily properties?
It really is today. And honestly, it has been for several years now, because people at their clicks do the walking for them instead of getting in the car and driving. A lot of people will look online first. You know, some people still like to come out and touch and feel and see the layout of the properties, but a good, strong website platform can give prospects a lot of information, and some even will lease sight unseen because they're given enough information on the website where they feel that they can make a really good decision. Mm-hmm. So it's important that the website kind of has a checklist of things that either the management companies with their internal content manager or somebody that they have on the outside go through and on a regular basis go through that checklist and make sure that they're hitting all the points so that they can keep people on the pages and keep people interested in using their website as a tool to lease and to represent their community.
You know, I have been to a lot of community websites, and I've seen, you know, ones that I would say are eye-catching and others that are just basically checking the boxes, but there's really nothing special there. But you don't get to see what's behind the curtain as far
right.
as what it's capturing. What do you feel is important that a website do for a community besides just looking good?
Right. Well, you know, it needs to be the ambassador for your community. In today's world, you can't just have a website that looks good on your laptop or your computer. It has to be mobile friendly because mm-hmm. there are people that do everything that maybe I would do in a day on my computer on their phone. And if it's not mobile friendly, they're going to go on to something else. Also, companies need to, like I said, complete regular content audits. I'm sure there's checklists out there that they can use to make sure that you don't have broken links, that your pictures are of high quality, that your photo gallery is robust. I looked at three or four different websites before coming in, and one you could lease online, but when you went to the page to lease, there were no pictures of the interiors on the website, of unit interiors. You went to where it said you could lease an apartment, and except for one floor plan, none of the others, you could even see a picture of a floor plan. So I'm curious as to how many people actually lease online there.
Mm-hmm.
I left the site pretty quickly. I didn't stay on any page very long, even though I was looking for those things. But I probably wouldn't visit that community. But nobody would know that.
Right.
Unless they were really looking at the analytics and making sure that everything was represented the best in the best light. I was talking to a friend of mine, Kevin Danielson. We worked together at UDR, and he's a consultant that does digital and content management. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me that, you know, that it's really important to have easy navigation across all the platforms for both residents and prospects. He also told me, and I wasn't aware of this, there's a web content accessibility guidelines. You know, in the apartment business, in any advertising, you know, we do, we try to make sure that it's ADA compliant, is fair housing compliant. Well, this web content accessibility guideline, it has four principles: perceivability, that it's operable, understandable, and robust. And it's so, it meets ADA guidelines, so maybe somebody that has a hearing or vision deficit or is colorblind or anything, that they still have equal access to the same thing that everybody else has seen. And what I found that was interesting, and there's three different levels, A, AA, and AAA, and everything that I've read about it and in talking to Kevin, the AA, the mid-standard, is what most websites strive for. But it's interesting at the things that these guidelines look at that I've seen on websites that don't follow that format. And so as a property owner, as a management company, are you asking questions to whoever's hosting your platform?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you meeting these guidelines? Where do you, you know, where can you check off all the boxes? And again, I went online and was able to find a checklist that you could use to see if you were hitting all of those points. Now, I don't think it's a law right now, but anything that's put in place like that, like this, is only going to become more robust and more and probably required over time.
Sure.
So it's something that people should look into. So also make sure that your content's error-free. In my consulting, I do property visits. I look at reports, but I also look at websites. And sometimes just the comments from a user perspective on the website, it could be three pages long. And they're like, are you kidding me? But those are the things that somebody will pick up on and say, well, if they can't get it right here, can they get it right when I'm living there?
Right.
Make sure all the links are working properly. If, you know, things happen. So if you're checking your content regularly, you can make sure that you don't have any broken links that need to be fixed. Is your visual media truly representing your property? Now, you know, and I know that the pictures, they're probably going to be the best you're going to see, but, you know, don't do like on Instagram and put a lot of filters on it.
Right.
So it does. So if you went out there, you'd look around and say, where am I? You know, really try to represent the property, the unit interiors, the amenities, let them see what they'll be getting. I saw some websites that had both the 2D and the 3D floor plans. I think they both are good on the 3D. On the 3D floor plans that I saw, the particular website even used dimensions for the larger rooms, which I think is very important if you're leasing online to make sure all your furniture fits. Also, that any videos or photos are very high quality. I've also seen some websites where somebody has scanned in a floor plan from 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And that's what they use as a photo to represent that floor plan. That's not putting your best foot forward.
Right.
So that's tough too. All the website functions, because so many of the websites have plugins for payments, for service requests, for pop-ups that come up. Make sure that all of those are functioning properly also.
You know, I've got a question for you. When I go to visit websites, and you know, most community websites will have a gallery section, and you click on the gallery section, and I can't tell you how many I find that have pictures of the, you know, the sign at the front of the building.
Correct.
Pictures of the office. Pictures inside the office.
The grill at the pool.
Yeah, the pool.
Right.
All the common area things, but they have no photos of the interior of the units. And to me, just in the back of my mind, I'm saying, how hard is it to get photos of the interior?
They're missing an opportunity.
Yeah. Or is there something they're trying to hide? Are the units so, you know, out of date as far as that they feel like it would be detrimental to put them on there?
The visual appeal of your website, you can't overstate that enough and its importance. The websites that I was looking at, one had a picture, it was somebody standing behind the outdoor kitchen at the pool looking at a building. It was okay, but it was filtered heavily. Another website, the colors and everything drew me in. It had great pictures. You could tell it was a newer community. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time on the website because it drew me in. And then the third one had a video on the banner, and it had drone
right.
aerials, and also from ground level, and that one was a lot of the amenities, but it made me want to stay on the website to see what else they had and what was inside. And on that website, they checked 99% of the boxes.
Yeah. I just, to me, it's, you know, from a standpoint, if I was going to be leasing, if I was a candidate to be a prospect to lease an apartment, and I went to the gallery section, and all I saw were the common areas.
Right.
And I saw nothing to show me what the interior was. Maybe a floor plan, but no photos of
right.
it. I would probably skip over that.
And today you can do videos. You can do 360s where they mm-hmm. can, you know, there are companies out there that do that. And that's a place that is money well spent.
Right.
Because give people different ways to look at what you have available. And that makes a very, very big difference in keeping the people on the site and also bringing them to your property to move in, to be a part of your community.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after this short break with our next segment. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Control Wynette provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control Wynette only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we're back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing the topic of maximizing the customer experience in the multifamily online environment. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a best-selling author, and a personal coach, as well as a multifamily consultant, Kathy Klum, the owner of Vast Resources Coaching and Consulting. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security issues. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Kathy, in the last segment, we were talking about the website being the ambassador, your ambassador for the community. Let's talk a little bit more about the website. What were some of the things that we didn't get a chance to cover?
Well, one of the things is your company looking at the analytics for the website? Probably, they should be monthly. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of properties' websites are hosted by whatever their management software platform is, but they can, you know, Google Analytics is free. Mm-hmm. And certainly any platform that hosts it should also be able to provide analytics. And when you look at, you know, why are we not leasing or, you know, why is the traffic not coming through the door? In today's online business environment, this is one of the first places you need to look, and look at it regularly to make sure that you're having people stay on the different pages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if your main push is to have people lease online, how much time are they spending on those pages? And some of it can give you some really good insight on where you need to focus your improvement.
Is that something that should be reviewed at the community level, or is it in the corporate office?
It depends on the size of the company that manages the property. Sometimes it can be done on site, but you know, I would suggest that one person be responsible for it, so they can look at it. One or two people, or you know, maybe a regional looks at it, or somebody in the corporate office and a marketing department, depending on the size of the company, but. You know, we used to, and probably still do mystery shops and things like that. Well, this is information on demand at your fingertips, so you should look at it and look at it carefully, and then use the information to make appropriate improvements. Also, you know, if you go onto your website and feel like it needs something else, look at other business lines and see what they're doing. See what draws you in and makes you stay there. It doesn't have to be necessarily apartment related. When I was talking to Kevin yesterday, he said, look at who does your oil changes, you know, and if they have a great website, that's a cut, you know, they're bringing in customers. What are they doing to engage the customers? So even going outside of the multifamily industry to see what other people are doing to really have robust websites can make a difference in some of the decisions that you make on yours. Do you have a really good neighborhood page? Again, I looked at three different websites. One had where it Google mapped with a pin of the property. That was their neighborhood page. Another one had pins where you would eat, work, play, learn. So it gave you a full picture of your neighborhood if you decided to live in that community. And I spent a lot of time on that page too, but I notice on a lot of websites, they don't necessarily take advantage of those features of a website to really tell their community story.
You know, you had mentioned the, you know, looking at other industries for how they're doing their websites. Isn't it true that multifamily over the years has adopted a lot of the technologies and so forth from the travel and hospitality industries?
Yes.
So, you know,
pricing engines, for example.
Right.
You know, I can look at 8 o'clock this morning at a price on an apartment that I'm interested in. I go back and want to rent the apartment tonight and the price has changed. Yes. Hmm. A lot of that
comes from those industries, which have some similarities to in some ways. So that would be one place that someone could look at other websites.
Exactly.
To see what they're doing on their website. What are they doing at the Ritz-Carlton? You know, what is Delta Airlines doing? You know, those
right.
types of things.
Okay. Well, if you're going to do, like I saw one website that said, make an appointment for a virtual tour. And I kind of cocked my head and thought, if I'm going to do a virtual tour, why do I have to get up out of my chair?
Right.
And what I think they meant to say was self-guided tours. So that's another way just to make sure that you're, you know, relaying the information that's going to give the prospect what they need. But on one website, they really push the self-guided tours. And this one had a pop-up, this website that I looked at a pop-up. It told you that there was a mobile check-in when you got there. It talked about how they would customize your tour to guide you through the community, that it was no pressure, where you could navigate, which a lot mm-hmm. of people like today, and also that you could get answers on demand as you were on your self-guided tour. And then they added a video at the end that showed probably actors, but people going through that experience. Well, what more would you need before you went out there?
Sure.
That was the only site, that was the only website that I looked at, and I'm sure there's more out there, but that really gave that full range of what the customer experience would be like. So take away all the potential negative surprises.
All right, and let's talk about the resident experience.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that a lot of communities started on the resident side with not just leasing online, but starting to do their renewals or to pay their rent. And I think that now that probably payments online are much, much more, you know, commonplace than they were even 5 years ago. But also doing renewals, so you're not printing 50 pages of documents. They're able to DocuSign it online. Resident files, more and more resident files are maintained online, so it helps the environment and helps you save, you know, space in your office from all the file cabinets that you would have to use for the paper. But, you know, one of my questions would be, as with my clients, is how do you use your resident portal to enhance the customer experience? Because, yes, they can pay rent. They can put in a service request. Is there a place where they can make recommendations or suggestions outside of service requests? How hard or easy is it for your residents to be able to, if they want to, speak to a representative of the community? And that doesn't mean it has to necessarily be somebody in the office, but like you brought up earlier, a call center.
Right.
Where they have information that they may be able to help you or maybe more quickly get you the information that you need. Also, if there's issues with any of the online or community services, how does your property communicate that to the residents? Not just that there is a problem, but this is one we anticipate it'll be fixed, acknowledging that, you know, we know that there's a glitch right now. A lot of properties have access to be able to text, to email residents. And it may not be a big deal to the property if there's an aspect of their online presence that's down, but it could mean a lot to a resident that's trying to take care of a service online when they need it taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that all makes sense. It just seems like, you know, there's other things now that are popping up that when you go to these expos, you see where you can, through the portal, you can get your dog walked. You can get, you know, different package information
right
on there. You know, the I guess the opportunities are endless.
It really is.
But it takes some coordination. It takes some
training.
Yeah,
it really does, because, you know, in the apartment industry, in the multifamily industry, our jobs have changed, and we do have to know more about technology. And we don't necessarily on the site level have to understand, or even in the corporate, understand everything about the back end of every platform that we're on. But we need to make sure that we have somebody that does, and that's looking out to make sure that every day that what we're presenting to our customers, whether they're prospects or current residents, that impression they get is a positive one, because we may not get another chance.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I would say that, you know, what is your recommendation? Obviously, the big boys, the big companies, you know, probably have people dedicated to doing these types of tasks. What would you recommend to mid-size or small company as far as how to make sure these things are in place?
Well, you know, there's always a lot of online resources. Like, I downloaded yesterday a checklist for the web content accessibility guidelines, and so I was looking through that. But I'm sure that either through a outside contractor or consultant, that you bring in as you need them, they can check, they can help you check off all those boxes, mm-hmm. and make sure that you have the information you need. But a lot of times you also may need people from the property or corporate to also look through it, because sometimes consultants, they may be good at the digital part or at the online part, but they may not know our industry
right
as intimately as we do. So it needs to be a review and an audit, both internally, and if you don't have somebody internally to go through all the content, to make sure that you have somebody that you can contact that can do that for you.
Okay, we'll leave it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of maximizing the customer experience in the multifamily online environment. I am Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a best-selling author and personal coach, as well as a multifamily consultant, Kathy Klim, the owner of Vast Resources Coaching and Consulting. So, Kathy, we've talked a lot about the experience of the prospect, the experience of the residents, Let's talk about customer service and customer satisfaction.
Okay.
And how the online environment can contribute to a positive experience.
Well, and, you know, no matter how many platforms or applications that you use to provide for people to find out about your community or to do what they need to do on a daily basis, there's going to be times where people need information outside of what's provided or what they can find on your website or on your online platform. So it's important to understand how you're providing that information, because you need to make sure that the prospects, residents, any type of customers, that if they're interacting with you, if they're using the email function on the website or text or chat, that they're receiving a prompt response. When I was with UDR and we first started doing more by email, mm-hmm. and this was a while back, you know, at first the benchmark was, and I was talking to Kevin about this yesterday because we were trying to figure out when we first started what the benchmark for returning emails was, like 72 hours. And then we took a leap and went to 24. Woohoo. Mm-hmm. Well, very quickly we learned that the quicker that we responded to emails, the more conversion we got to walk-in traffic, because they were emailing five communities and we were responding much quicker than anybody else. So it got to the point where it got down to like 20 minutes.
Right.
And that, you know, every company should have an expectation, but whether it's text, email, how they are going to respond and what type of responses they're going to provide. I know that a lot of the websites that I saw, they use the bots. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to bot or not to bot, it depends. I think for smaller companies or, you know, or standalone properties, if they have a robust frequently asked questions page that would go over some of the same questions that, say, a bot would answer because they're programmed, you know, to answer certain questions, that would be fine. But, you know, how do you find out if the bot and the questions that you have set up, how do you know if they're really answering people's concerns?
Right.
So it's just making sure, again, that all of those touch points are being responded to. One of the things I've done in my consulting is property reviews, and I do their website reviews and their online and their reputation management. Well, I'll go to the contact page and tell them I want to look for a two-bedroom apartment or whatever, send it in. And it's interesting to see, one, if they respond, and two, how long it takes them to respond. And I think that if I'm doing this as a test and this is what I'm finding out, are they losing traffic and are they losing potential really good customers? So it's those kind of things, that just understanding how important that back end of the customer experience is. Also, some people just want a phone call.
Right.
And that's where, if you don't have a situation where you have enough staff to accommodate that, do you have a call center? Do you have a way that you can communicate with people to give them what they need so they can feel like they've been heard, they feel like that their issue or their question has been answered or resolved? Another thing is a reputation management. And I can't, and all this is common across all industries, not just the multifamilies, but to me, a company should respond to every positive and negative comment. It doesn't just say, thank you for telling us how great we are, but, you know, ouch, sometimes we don't do it right. And what do we do to fix it? And encourage that person to call us, try to resolve it. And then if you resolve a person's issue that's put in a negative review, it's perfectly okay to ask them if they would remove it or update it, because you've taken care of their issue. But I've seen a lot of review sites where you can tell that the company's not managing it, because you see the same thing show up a lot, which if you see it show up a lot, it's a problem. Yeah. And how are they responding to it? Also, a lot of companies do surveys, which I think are great. They do them for move in, they do them for move out, they do them for work orders. I don't know, you know, I don't think they have that opportunity always on an online environment, because how do you survey somebody that went to your website did not find it visually appealing or could not find what they wanted and left, you don't have that opportunity. So
right.
Again, it goes back to how important it is to provide that positive experience across all the online applications, so that in itself goes a long way to ensuring a good customer experience.
You know, when you were talking about wanting to know the good, the bad, and the ugly, that's so important. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's a vice president of operations for a large multifamily company, regional vice president. And he was telling me that they encourage people to leave comments or to do reviews.
Yeah, they do.
And I asked him, I said, well, you know, you're going to get a lot of bad comments. He said, yeah, but we need to know what we're doing wrong. And also, we want to get we don't expect just to get the good reviews, but we want to get those as well. And it just reminded me of something that my father used to always tell me. He was in the advertising business. And, you know, he used to tell me, it doesn't matter what you think people think. It only matters what they really think.
Exactly.
So if you're not getting a lot of bad reviews, you might think, well, we're doing great.
Right.
But you got to find out. You got to dig a little deeper to find out about that.
And I think that's where the difference between a survey and a review come in, because mm-hmm. people will leave a review if they've had a bad website yeah. experience, for example. You can't necessarily survey for that. So, and even if you pay an outside company to monitor that and to do your responses and respond, there need to be people internally that are really drilling down on that data to see what they can do to improve, to make the experience better.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do have a question about something that you mentioned regarding when you are doing, reviewing for your clients'
right.
Websites and so forth. When you find, I'm assuming that sometimes you'll find something that's not up to speed.
Yes.
As far as that, when you find that and you let your clients know who are, I'm imagining at the executive level within a management
right.
company, are they shocked that you're finding? Did they think that everything's great?
I think in a lot of cases it's just that wasn't their focus, or they assume that somebody internally is taking care of it. But let's think about it. We are all busy.
Oh sure.
In the multifamily industry, you have something different every day. You're constantly, juggling multiple priorities, and it really does, it's kind of like when you drive to work and sometimes you realize, did I really go through these intersections? Because you start
right.
doing it just by memory.
Sure.
Well, or walk by something and you see the same thing day after day, so you don't notice what's wrong with it. It's the same thing with your website. That's where, stepping back and looking at other websites, or stepping back and having maybe a friend look and see what they find. And I just, to me, that visual appeal, the way that things are worded, that's something that is important to me. So I'll go through and it won't even be a client, and I'll start making notes and call somebody that I know and say, look, do you mind if I give you some feedback? Because I noticed some things that you may want to improve on your website. They're like, okay.
Well, look, we could talk about this topic for another couple of segments, but we're at the end of the show. But I do want to transition and ask you. I've introduced you now four times this episode as a best-selling author. You've got a book that I have seen, and I've helped to try to get the word out to the
yes.
industry, because it is a vital, tool that you can use. And it's called Speak It in Spanish.
Right.
Tell our listeners a little bit about that and how they can get a copy
okay.
of that.
It's Speak It in Spanish, Workplace Spanish Made Easy for the Multifamily Industry. I did it because Spanish was one of my majors in college. And when I moved to Houston right after college and got into the apartment industry, I realized that there was large chunks of my time that I was spending, once people realized that I could speak Spanish, that I was being pulled away from what I was doing to help them communicate with somebody that was not fluent in English. And this percolated through my head for years. And when I retired from full-time property management, I found information that I'd put together and taught some classes on in Spanish early in my career. And I thought, there's some things that just don't change, and this is one of them. There's just this communication gap. So I spent time and put together the book, Speak It in Spanish, and you don't have to have any Spanish knowledge. You don't have to have taken it in high school. I use a very easy pronunciation so that you can put, and I've already conjugated verbs, so don't be afraid of all the grammar and all the parts of speech. You take a verb and a noun and put it together, and you can start communicating, and you build from there. Because you could learn 300 words in Spanish and be able to communicate and connect with somebody in the workplace. And so the feedback I've gotten has been very good. Companies have bought it, like had one for the management office and one for the maintenance. And what's interesting is just as many Spanish speakers are interested in it as English speakers, because once they learn that the English speaker is trying to learn Spanish, it builds that bond between them, and they start working together. So the English speaker's learning Spanish, the Spanish speaker's learning English at the same time, because they don't feel as self-conscious because they're working on it together.
And how can somebody get a copy of the book?
If they go to www.speakitinspanish.com, they can order it there. And if they have bulk orders, they can, you know, if they want to order for their company, they can email me at Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at speakitinspanish.com, and I can give them a bulk discount.
All right, and it will also be posted, a link to the website will all be posted on this episode page of our website at multifamilyradio.com. I do want to just make one more comment and about the book, and that is that I know a lot of supplier partners to the industry are purchasing the book for their crews, as well as purchasing them as gifts to their clients.
Yes, they have. As a matter of fact, I have somebody coming by today to pick up some for the to have as giveaways for the Houston Apartment Association trade show. So
great,
it's going.
All right. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for coming. It's always a pleasure to have you. You bring the receipts with you, and look forward to having you on again soon.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
All right. We will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.